Nobody ever wants to die having been forgotten. There's something inside us that yearns for immortality, and sometimes we think that if we've made a good name for ourselves or leave memories behind, then people are going to keep us in mind forever. Well, that's not going to be the case, because after a few generations pass on, after we do, yes, we're going to eventually be forgotten by human beings. But God raises up to us to glory. In His presence, we are never forgotten, have no need for being remembered by people on earth, simply because it's God Himself who gives us every validation necessary. Loved by God, we have no need to be loved by men. Although it's still human to want to have that affirmation. It's part of how we are. The danger comes whenever we decide to desire the acclamations of humanity rather than the love of God. When we seek celebrity status rather than sanctity. It makes me sad as a priest to see some priests doing that. That rather than being faithful to their orders, to the holy orders, to their religious vows, or just to the priesthood itself, they want to be liked and loved by other people, even compromise the truth in order to have the acclamation and the love of human beings. And what happens is that the priesthood itself begins to be disregarded, cast aside, and eventually it's meaningless. What do we call celebrities? We call them stars, whether it's a sports star, a movie star, whatever kind of star it might be. And as we know from nature, stars fall, stars fade, they eventually die. God, however, does not fall. God does not fade. God does not die. And we see this beautifully played out in all of Holy Week. As Jesus enters Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday as a celebrity, people are ecstatic seeing him there. This is the one who is going to bring freedom and raise up the Jewish people and cast off Roman oppression. He's going to be the Messiah in every political sense, every human sense that we can think of. But then as the week folds on, Jesus being true to who he is and true to the mission that was given to him by the Father loses that celebrity status. Those hosannas of Palm Sunday turn into crucify him on Good Friday. But God being God and Christ being Christ and truth being truth, God would not let death have the final word over this, or sin, or human desire for mere celebrity. Jesus, as St. Paul tells us, became obedient to the point of death, the ignominious death of the cross. But because of what he did, God greatly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every other name. And deep down inside, people still resent that fact. Notice how today, if you mock any other religion, you've got the whole world breathing down your neck saying, "Oh my, how dare you say this about these people?" Mock Christ, mock Christianity, and they laugh right along with you. Nothing changes in 2,000 years. Because Jesus represents something that we resent deep down inside in our sinfulness. Obedience, holiness, surrendering to truth, being accountable to a creator higher than ourselves. His will, not our will. We don't like that. We'd rather mock Christ than follow him. And what does Jesus say very gently? "Unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." That's what we think about this week. Us taking up our crosses and following him along this way of sorrow, knowing that we're going to have it culminate in glory. To go back to St. Paul, this is the same thing about Jesus that we will see what God is asking for ourselves. That Jesus, even though he was in the form of God and the Son of God, did not see that as a reason to grasp to it and say, "You can't hurt me because I'm the Son of God." He simply submitted. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming like us in every way, human in appearance, taking upon himself our sinfulness to bring it to the cross. God wants us to do the same thing, accepting our weaknesses, accepting the truth that we can't do everything, our setbacks, our cares, our worries, everything in this life that seems to be a distraction to us, all these things become the cross. And to carry the cross with perfect resignation and serenity, it's a peaceful thing that we do, knowing full well that every suffering that we endure, all the sorrows that we have to carry, every kind of pain that brings us any kind of misery in this world, all these things united to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross becomes life-giving. We become a fountain of grace, not just for ourselves, but for all those around us, so that when others see us suffer as they saw Jesus suffer, they can say, this one is a son, this one is a daughter of God. What Jesus did, he did cheerfully. I would have no doubt that he kissed the cross when he accepted it from Pilate, which would have made people wonder, why, how? And the same thing with us. When they see joy in the midst of affliction, because they see our hope and our belief that this is passing, but that God never changes, that God is eternal, and that love cannot be conquered, then they realize that we have something that is far greater than celebrity, that pearl of great price, sanctity, holiness, unity with Christ that lives forever. What the Father did for Jesus, he does for us. God greatly exalted Christ, he exalts us. He bestows on us the name above every other name, the name of Christian, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall and will indeed bend, like it or not they will. Those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confessing to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. If anyone shall follow me, let him take up his cross. My yoke is easy, my burden light. But the way of the cross always leads to the glory of resurrection.